is Grant Winteravage, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning. Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Coonan in studio. We'll have an update from Sierra Doctor, plus a report from Whitney Pittman reporting from Washington, D.C. this week. Well, we're heading into the final week of April, and yes, we're digging up from yet another winter storm. Snow and sleet continuing across the region this morning. Snowfall totals include nearly 9 inches at Sharon in East Central North Dakota, 6 inches at Michigan, North Dakota, 4 inches at White Earth, Minnesota. The light snow should taper off as it moves to the east today. The wind will be another issue. It could limit visibility if you're on the road.
Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar hosting Senate Agriculture Committee ranking member John Bozeman for farm bill hearings in Rochester and the Twin Cities later today. Klobuchar is a DFLer while Bozeman is a Republican, and Klobuchar said there's a long tradition of working across the aisle in the Senate Agriculture Committee.
The farm bill debate continues, of course. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has this story from Capitol Hill.
Nutrition programs make up over 80% of farm bill funding. Some leaders are asking for work requirements for the SNAP program. Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow says work requirements were in place but were suspended during COVID.
There's always this debate about nutrition, and we have a farmer safety net and a family safety net. We're not breaking those up, nor do our major agricultural groups want us to do that. And there's been a misplaced debate, which is not understanding that there are work requirements for SNAP. There are work requirements for SNAP. They were just suspended during COVID, like the other areas. They come back on in July. If you are able-bodied, able to work, unless you are disabled, a senior family with small children under age 6, and the requirement is 30 hours a week.
The debt ceiling is also of high concern and could make writing a farm bill very difficult. Stabenow says agriculture is already dealing with spending cuts that were put in place over a decade ago.
The other thing that keeps me up right now is this whole debate about whether or not our country is going to default, because that is very real. We lived through this. When I first took over chairing the committee in 2011, there was a major debate just like this about extreme cross-the-board cuts, otherwise we're going to default. 10 years later, there's a 5.7% cut in the commodity titles and other programs still existing from what was called sequestration that was passed in 2011. If they are talking about cross-the-board cuts, it will make it very difficult to write a farm bill.
Washington Watch reports are brought to you this week by the Minnesota Corn Growers Association, NDFB, South Dakota Soybean Association, and Farm Credit Services of Mandan. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Minnesota's omnibus agriculture bill is now moving into a conference committee. The House passed the legislation with a 70-58 party line vote. Agriculture Committee Chair Samantha Vang carried the legislation.
I'm proud to present a good, comprehensive, balanced budget that represents both rural and urban farmers, big and small farmers, and for the environment and sustainability of agriculture. Whether it's protecting farmers, ensuring our soil remains healthy, or providing food for every Minnesotan, we are making sure Minnesota is a national leader.
The bill includes $100 million for the expansion of broadband. It creates a grain indemnity fund and increases funding for the Rural Finance Authority and Farm Business Management.
Representative John Burkle, who represents the far northwestern corner of the state, attempted to turn back changes to the Minnesota Board of Animal Health. The Ag Finance Bill changes the size of the board.
Right now, 6 members appointed by the governor, and those members appointed by the governor select their executive director. There's no need for the governor to be appointing the executive director position. The move to 11 members is currently in the bill, including a member from each congressional district, is unnecessary. And the fact that all those members need is to be knowledgeable in animal agriculture versus a veterinarian or a livestock producer is just too subjective. And frankly, it's irresponsible given the challenges that the livestock industry and poultry industry face with CWD, high path AI, and African swine fever.
Burkle said this language changing the Minnesota Board of Animal Health will just politicize that board. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. A bill which would allow North Dakota dairy farmers to sell raw milk is on its way to Governor Doug Burgum. The State Senate passed the bill 32-14. The House passed the same bill late February. The bill is sponsored by the youngest member in the history of the North Dakota legislature, Representative Dawson Holly of Mandan.
North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum has signed a bill that more than doubles the funding for the state's Agriculture Diversification and Development Fund. This bill provides $25 million for grants for new or expanded value-added ag businesses. Up to $10 million is also available for public infrastructure improvements. That fund was created in 2021.
Conservation programs, emergency relief programs, and more are in the sign-up process. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has that story.
Minnesota Farm Service Agency Executive Director Whitney Place says it's that time of year when program sign-up gets busy.
Our offices are starting to get busy again. One program that is on a lot of people's radar is the Emergency Relief Program, as well as the Pandemic Assistance Revenue Program. The deadline for both of those signups is June 2nd, 2023. These are those revenue-based programs that we're kind of trying to catch those people who weren't covered in phase one of the ERP. And so, you know, any producers who feel like they may qualify for these programs should really get into their offices soon. There's some amount of paperwork and information to collect, and so getting into their offices to understand what's required will help them get signed up in a timely fashion.
The Emergency Relief Program Phase 2 is directed at producers that weren't covered under Phase 1. Place says a significantly smaller amount of funding will be compensated to producers.
I think that was kind of the intent of the program, was through phase one to get everyone paid in a really efficient manner using the data we already had. And so that was to just like pay out kind of the large chunk of the appropriation. Now we're trying to catch those folks that, you know, may not have, that might have fallen through the cracks of kind of our technology barriers and, you know, may have different sorts of operations. So people who grow specialty crops or had different forms of crop insurance.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
A coalition of seven North Dakota farm groups are hosting a series of statewide farm bill listening sessions. North Dakota Corn Growers Association Executive Director Brenda Elmer says similar issues have been heard at each meeting.
You know, we talk a lot about ad hoc disaster versus crop insurance and mitigating that risk. You know, more of them are crop insurance and something that would be uniform and something they can plan for versus these kind of knee-jerk programs that we've been dealing with the last several years. And, you know, and conservation. There's a real worry about you know, conservation efforts not being voluntary. That has been a common theme that has come out as well.
Elmer says it's important for farmers to reach out to lawmakers about farm bill priorities.
Discussions of the federal milk marketing order modernization are underway. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch says the current inflated economy has been the push for dairy organizations to ask for higher make allowances to help offset some of these higher expenses.
Most recently, the International Dairy Food Association, IDFA, and Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association, they both formally petitioned USDA to change what's called a make allowance, and increase make allowances within the federal milk pricing formula. So just as background, a make allowance is basically a fixed deduction from the product formulas used in coming up with milk prices to help cover the cost for processors to convert raw milk that they're buying from a farmer to a value-add product like butter or cheese.
Make allowances haven't been changed since 2006. Munch says there's disagreements on the accuracy of the information used to develop the make allowances.
The problem on our end and a lot of the farmer organizations' ends is currently the process to change make allowances is based off of voluntary research surveys. So when you go through the federal order process, the testimony that stakeholders would be using would include data based on voluntary surveys from researchers. American Farm Bureau Federation, us, we do not support make allowance increases until mandatory surveying of costs are in place so that all of these plants are included in the survey, so that any changes to make allowances are actually representative of market conditions.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. According to Red River Valley Sugar Beet Growers Association Executive Director Harrison Weber, the sugar industry is still evaluating its farm bill platform.
We want to make sure to be on the same page with obviously within the beet sector, but also with our cane brethren, making sure that we're going as a unified voice. But, you know, looking at things like a lot of other groups, reference prices with sugar, we're looking at, you know, different tweaks to crop insurance potentially, how certain programs are administered, certain dates, stuff like that. Not ready yet to release, you know, specifics, but from a high level, those are some of the things that we're exploring.
With the debate over budgets and the debt ceiling, the question of money becomes an issue.
You know, certainly in production agriculture, we're focused on improving crop insurance, looking at some of those market access programs, those types of things. We're gonna push to make sure the money's there. I think at the end of the day, the committee is going to do a good job of coming together in a bipartisan way to make sure that they can get something out of committee that's going to work both for Republicans and Democrats.
For specialty crops like the dry bean growers, farm bill priorities include adequate funding for foreign market development and the Pulse Crop Health Initiative. North Harvest Bean Growers Association Executive Director Mitch Coulter says the dollars available for export development need to be adjusted.
Yeah, it's been two decades since we've seen any kind of change there, and really we would love to see it doubled. I think every commodity group is fully utilizing their funds, and we see opportunities that are being missed, and so if we can get those funds added, that would be helpful for all the commodities in North Dakota and Minnesota.
There are over 200 members in the House and 25 senators who have never voted on a farm bill.
Not only do you have to educate them, but the process, they have to understand that too. So there's a big curve that all of us need to work on in agriculture with the new members.
Ann Coulter was part of the Farm Bill listening sessions yesterday in Harwood and Grand Forks. The final meeting will be held Tuesday in Jamestown.
Checking those markets, we have Minneapolis wheat down 1¾ cents for May at 8.54. Chicago wheat for May, a 2 cent gain. And hard red winter wheat for May, 1¾ higher. May corn down 2¾, 661 the quote. New crop down 2¾. May soybeans, 8¼ higher at 1489¼. New crop soybeans also down by 8¼ cents. On the farm calendar, the Minnesota State FFA Convention is starting this weekend, Sunday. They'll be working out of the Minnesota State Fairgrounds and Williams Arena at the University of Minnesota. A program called Connecting with You Animal Science Showcase with the University of Minnesota St. Paul campus will be held Thursday of next week. Again, put on by the Animal Science Department at the University of Minnesota. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.